Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Good morning, everyone. How are we doing today? So great to see you again here together on this beautiful hot Sunday morning. If we haven't had the chance to meet yet, my name is John, and I'm the young adults pastor here at The Rocks, and I'm ready to share a powerful word that I believe that God has placed on my heart to share with all of us here today. But hey, if this is your first time to The Rocks, I just want to extend my personal welcome to you as well and say that we're so excited, we're so thrilled that you're here, and we want to treat you like a VIP guest here today. So that's why we have a new guest lounge that's designed perfectly and specifically for you. We would just love to chat with you, get to know you a little bit better. We have some coffee, biscuits, gifts, the whole nine yards, so definitely come by. I might be there, and some leaders will be there. It'll be a great chance to get to know a little bit more about us. Hey, if you're tuning in on YouTube as well, I just want to extend my welcome to you as well. Wherever you are around the world, whether you're here in Perth or somewhere like Canada, for instance, we're so excited that you're joining us here today. Like I said last week, Dad, I think you're tuning in. So great to have you with us, Dad. Love you always. Aww. Today, I'm bringing a message from our Divine Direction series. And this is part three that we've been doing this series for since the beginning of January for the entirety of 2019 so far. We've been talking about this idea of divine direction. Now, if you were here last week, we talked about the wisdom to decide. I'm not going to go through that right now. You can always check out our previous message on therocks.info, or you can go on YouTube. But hey, if you're on therocks.info right now, sneaky plug, we have message notes that you can follow along there too, just in case you'd like to take notes today. But hey, before we jump in, why don't I open up with a word of prayer and set our hearts right for what we're going about to hear this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, that we can gather here today just to experience the love and the grace that you offer us. Lord, I pray that you open up our hearts, you open up our minds to the possibility that there is more to come, Lord, that there is more to come to this life, that there is more to come in the future. So we thank you, Jesus, for all these things in your name. Amen. Can I just say, I am in the mood to preach. I am excited to speak here this morning. I am pumped to bring a word from God here today. And I believe that God has been speaking to me this past week and probably my entire life to build up to this moment. And I have some nuggets and some wisdom and some life experience. I'm only 26, but some life experience that I can't wait to share with you all here today. But we're going to jump into the message today, and we're going to get excited, and we're going to get through this. So hey, the first thing I want to say is that I just pray that something inside of you gets stirred today. I pray that something inside of you gets stirred up. And I believe that if we lean in, and if we believe that God is going to speak to us, in fact, he will. And if we believe, and if our heart is set correctly, no matter what happens here this morning, you will hear from God, and you will hear exactly that thing that you need to hear here this morning. But the thing is, to take a step towards our destiny, oftentimes we have to take a step away from our security. To take a step into something new, we often have to take a step away from something old. You know, I believe that as today, as we're looking towards God for our personal divine direction, many of us will hear from God telling us to start something new. It might be to start school. It may be to start a new relationship that you've lost trust in. It may be to start a new business in your life. It may be to start a new small group. It may be to start tithing for the very first time. I don't know what it is in your life that you're going to be starting new, but I believe that God's going to whisper, God's going to say something to you today, and you're going to start something new. Because in order to take a step towards our destiny, we often have to take a step away from our security. And yes, that might be frightening. Yes, that may be scary. Yes, that may be the last thing that we want to do, but I can guarantee you that when you do that, you will experience God in the most powerful way, more powerful than you've ever experienced him before. But rest assured, we'll start slow here this morning. We'll start with the basics, and we'll work our way up. So let's begin with the fundamentals. You know, I was reminded this past week of my childhood, as always. I was reminded of a little time when I used to play basketball. You know, I played basketball my whole life growing up. And I remember week after week, practice after practice, the thing that we would spend the most hours on was fundamentals. Dribbling, passing, shooting, free throws, triple threat, whatever it was, pivot foots. As a kid, you can imagine, I hated spending time on the fundamentals. It was absolutely the worst. All I wanted to do was to jump on the court and shoot around. All I wanted to do was to play a scrimmage. All I wanted to do was to get in the game. But that's the thing. Well, my dad was my coach, so that doesn't always help. But this is the thing. I learned later the reason why we spend so much time on the fundamentals is because the fundamentals are the foundation on which everything else is built. The foundations, the fundamentals that we do, the fundamentals that we have to get right, are the foundation on which everything else is built. You can't play the game if you can't dribble the ball. You can't play the game if you don't know how to use your pivot foot because the referees are going to call you out. You can't jump in the game if you don't know how to shoot. So you have to get these foundations, these fundamentals right in order to get to the next step. You know, when we have the wrong foundation, when we have a weak foundation, our house will fall down when there's a storm. And the same is true for us. Once we get the fundamentals right, once we get the basics right, we can build up from there because everything on the ground is firm. But if our foundation is shaky, if we don't have our fundamentals down right, when things get tough, when a storm hits, our lives tend to break down. And maybe for you this morning, it's time to start looking at some of these foundations, some of these fundamentals from which we are building. We need to get some good foundation, some good fundamentals in our lives to ensure that we are heading towards the divine direction that God has planned for us. So that's the first thing we're going to do this morning. I'm going to give you some of the fundamentals that are absolutely essential into building a firm foundation. So here's my first statement. You will never finish something that you don't start. You will never finish something that you don't start. The challenge for so many of us here today is often it's the start that stops us. It's the start that stops us. We look on Instagram and we look on Facebook and we see the before and after pictures and we see that girl who was 90 kgs and now she's 60 kgs and we say, I actually want that, but it's a start that stops us. We see that person on Facebook who has their new business, who started up their own enterprise and we say, man, I wish I had that. You know, we look on Facebook, we look on Instagram, we see that person who can speak 5 languages, we see that person who can play 3 instruments, we see that person who looks like they have everything. We look at the before and the after pictures and we say to ourselves, I want that. But so often, we don't know how to get there, so we don't start. It's the start that stops us. And this may seem obvious, but it's important because you will never, ever, ever, ever finish something that you don't start. You will miss 100% of the shots that you don't take. You will lose every competition that you back down from. So for today, I'm asking God to give us the faith to start. My whole message is based on this concept of having the faith to start. I'm praying that God will give you the faith to start in a direction that will alter the course of your life forever. That will alter the course of your life forever. And to do that, we're going to look at a guy in the Bible by the name of Nehemiah in the Old Testament. Say to the person next to you, Nehemiah, and make sure to pronounce the ch, Nehemiah. That H, that first H is real important. Nehemiah, I'm not going to say that the whole time. I'm going to say Nehemiah. Nehemiah, he had the faith to start something that had a significant impact, not only on his life, but on the lives of the people around him as well. I know a lot of people here today may have not grown up in church, and I know a lot of people who may have grown up in church but may not be actually familiar with the story of Nehemiah. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give us a little bit of background information, some little bit of context so that we can all be on the same page as we're moving forward. To set the scene, God told his people, I want you to obey me and I want you to worship me. This is like the real summary version. I want you to obey me and I want you to worship me. Unfortunately, they didn't, and so God allowed them to be destroyed and demolished by their enemies. Their city was wiped out, their cities were torn down, their walls were broken, their temples were destroyed, and the people were taken captives by the enemies. And then we fast forward 140 years later, and there's a small group of God followers who said to themselves, hey, I want to start to rebuild this city. I want to start doing this. Then enters Nehemiah. He hears about this group of God followers who are struggling to rebuild this wall, who are absolutely struggling. I actually would say that struggling doesn't completely encapsulate the emotion that's happening here. The text actually says they were in great trouble and disgrace. And what happens next is amazing. Suddenly, God gives Nehemiah what I'm going to call a divine burden. God gives Nehemiah a divine burden. Nehemiah hears about the people who are struggling to rebuild the wall, and he says, I'm not going to stand and watch this. I'm not going to stand on the sidelines and let this happen anymore. I'm not going to stand and watch this happen. I need to get my skin in the game. This hurts too much for me to stand on the sidelines. I need to do something about this. There's something deep down inside of me that is not okay with just watching. I need to do something about this, a divine burden. You know, I love this concept of a divine burden. For me, a divine burden is that thing that keeps you up at night, but it's also that thing that's going to get you out of the bed in the morning. It's a thing that drives your mind crazy at night, but it's also that same thing that will get you up first thing in the morning. And some of you are here today, and you may not even know what your divine burden is, but I can guarantee you that every single one of us here has a divine burden. I can guarantee you that there's something inside of you that you just will not stand still and let happen. There's something that's deep and down inside of you that just tears your heart apart when you watch it happen. It's a divine burden. You know, you don't even have to be a Christian here today, but there's something in this world that when you look at it, you can't help but weep, you can't help but get emotional, you can't help but feel broken because of the injustice that's happening. We all have that thing that stirs something inside of us. There's a voice that says in our head, somebody has to do something about this. Why shouldn't it be me? You know, maybe you're a woman here today who has faced domestic violence in the past, and you say, the thing that I want in the world and the most is to help other women who are facing this exact same situation. You know, maybe in the past you faced addiction, maybe in the past you have had struggled with a variety of drugs, and you're saying, what I want most in this world, what drives me to get out of bed in the morning, is to see other people who overcome this addiction because I see the hope and I know the path to recovery. Maybe for you, you're facing something extravagantly terrible, and you know that you can help someone who has gone through that exact same thing. Maybe you look at the state of WA and you see these poor kids who are on the street, who are homeless, who are in terrible homes, and maybe you can't foster all of them, but you can take in one foster child. It's a divine burden. What's happening when I say this? You're experiencing your divine burden. And more often than not, your divine burden reveals your divine direction. Your divine burden, that thing inside of you that hurts on behalf of God, reveals your divine direction. It reveals what God wants you to do. It reveals the path that he wants you to take. I don't know what it is for you, but you're going to see it. And when you see it, you're gonna say, I can't take it anymore. I can't take it anymore. I can't wait on the sidelines. I'm gonna get my skin in the game and I'm gonna do something about it. It might as well be me. Divine burden reveals your divine direction. You know, for me, I have a burden for people who get lost through the cracks. And this might seem a little bit random, but I'm gonna explain it through. You know, people who get ignored, people who get looked over, people who don't fulfill the potential that God has given them. This is one of those things that keeps me up at night. This is one of the things that drives me to get out of bed in the morning, people who are slipping through the cracks. And you might ask, oh, what have you done about that? Well, I'm a pastor for one. But on the second, I'm a part of a small team here at The Rocks that we call the assimilation team. And Dev's on that team. And what this team does, you might not even know this team exists, but what this team does is that whenever you sign up for that thing, whenever you sign up for Answer, whenever you sign up for small group, whenever you sign up for volunteering, whatever that thing is, that form hits my desk. That form goes through me. And I send that email, hi, first name. Hello, first name. I'm so excited that you decided to join Answer. Answer is a 4-week consecutive on Tuesday evenings at 6:30 to 8:30 where we meet at The Rocks. We're so excited that you're deciding to join. It's facilitated by Pastor Daniel. Please come on time. We have refreshments. Kind regards, John. You know, for some of us here, that might sound like admin. And for some of us, that might sound just like an email. But for me, this is a divine burden. For me, it's so much more. It's ensuring that people don't fall through the cracks. It's ensuring that people have the opportunity to reach the potential. For me, it shows that I can connect people to what they're trying to achieve in this life, in this church. Divine burden. So what do you do when you get this kind of burden? What do you do when you receive this burden from God? Well, what's interesting is that when you look at Nehemiah, who's actually probably the last guy you would think who could build a wall. Why? Well, for those who don't know, he was described as, his vocation was a cup bearer. He was a cup bearer. And for those who don't know what a cup bearer, it is not in the construction business. He's not a general contractor. He's not an architect. He's not a bricklayer. He is a cup bearer. So what he did was that Before the king could drink his wine, the cupbearer had a sip of his wine, essentially. And you might think, oh, that's pretty cool. He probably got to taste a lot of really fancy wines. And yes, that's true. However, the main purpose of a cupbearer was to ensure that there was no poison in the wine. So if the cupbearer died, that was a good indication that you probably shouldn't drink that wine. It's a pretty tough job. So here we have this guy who doesn't seem prepared at all for his divine burden, but yet he's been given this purpose. He's been given this clear direction by God, and he's wondering, what in the world am I supposed to do with this? What in the world am I meant to do this? How can I get from here to there? Does this sound familiar to anyone? How do I get from here to there? You may seem so far away from even the possibility of starting that thing. You can't even fathom how you're going to even take that first step. You can't even fathom how you're going to get across that bridge. You have no idea how you're going to get there. You know, you might be asking God, who am I? Who am I to be doing this thing? Who am I to be fulfilling this burden that you have given me? I'm not qualified. I'm not trained. I don't have experience. Who am I, God, to be doing this thing that you have entrusted me with? God, why did you give me this burden? What am I supposed to do with it? God, who am I? But guess what, church? God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Someone here needs to hear that message today. You may not feel adequate. You may not feel like you're enough. You may not feel like you have enough experience. But when your heart hurts for what God's heart hurts for, he will honor your faith and he will guide you into your destiny. Maybe you don't feel prepared, but when God gives you a burden, when God gives you a divine burden, he gives it to you because he trusts you to do something about it. He trusts you to take that on and do something about it. Because it is our choices that show who we truly are, far more than our abilities. Harry Potter's on Netflix. Just in case you haven't heard, Harry Potter has joined Netflix. All 8 movies. That's what I've been doing for the past couple of weeks. And just in case anybody wants to know, I did the Pottermore test. I'm in Gryffindor. So, no big deal. It's very rare, apparently. But how amazing is this statement? It's our decisions that show who we are, far more than our abilities. And my prayer today is that someone here will have the faith to start. Regardless of how you feel, regardless of how you see yourself, that someone here today will choose to have the faith to start in a direction that will alter the course of your life. So what's the first thing you do when God starts using your divine burden to send you in a new direction? What's the first choice you should make when you're faced with this burden? Well, what Nehemiah did was he took it to God. He took it to God in prayer. He got down on his knees and he prayed this powerful prayer. His prayer is so moving to me. Listen to his words. Lord, God of heaven, great and awesome God, let your ear be attentive to the cries of my heart. I confess our sins, including my own, God. We've acted wickedly towards you. Remember the promises you gave your people, God, and grant your servants success as I go before the king today. And I absolutely love this. What's the first thing you do when God starts using a burden to move you towards your divine direction? You take it towards God in prayer. Nehemiah continues and says, God, give me favor before the king. So Nehemiah goes before the king and asks permission to leave. And in summary, he says, I know this sounds crazy, king. I'm just your cupbearer. But would you give me permission? Would you bless me to leave to this place called Jerusalem, 1,400 kilometers away, and try to start this project to rebuild this wall, you know, the walls of Jerusalem, to redeem the reputation of God and to bring honor back to his people? Would you give me this favor? And would you believe it that the heart of the king is moved by Nehemiah? And he says, yes. Nehemiah then goes, and long story short, he rebuilds the wall. But this is the thing. Long story short. Fortunately for us, Nehemiah's story in Instagram came in very different centuries. We got a little bit more than just the before and after picture, a bit more than the 2009 versus the 2019 picture. We got a little bit more than this. We've come a long way. Someone's like, who's that? You know, this picture shows how far I've come, but you have no idea the steps that I've taken. You know, this shows the before and after picture like we've been talking about, but you have no idea the journey that I've gone to. Maybe you know a little bit about it, but you have no idea the decisions that I've made along the way. And long story short, here I am today in 2019, but that's the thing, long story short. And luckily for us, we are able to look at Nehemiah's story and look what that long story short actually looks like. And we can to look into how he actually rebuilt that wall. The story is not finished here. It brings us to this question, how do you, someone with a divine burden, how do you start something big like Nehemiah did? Now, let me qualify big, because something big to you might look like building a wall, but it's probably not that likely. But something big to you might look like opening a foster care center. Something big for you might look like taking in a foster care child. Something big for you might look like sponsoring a compassion child. Something big for you might be getting over your debt. Something big for you might be going back to school. Something big for you might be being that godly husband, that godly father that you know God has destined and planned for you to be. When I'm talking about big, I'm talking about what God is calling you to do that is significant. So how do you start something big? You start small. How do you start something big? You start small. And I love this imagery in Zechariah 4:10 that says, "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin." Do not despise, do not be embarrassed, don't hate these small beginnings. Why? Because he rejoices to see the work begin. And this is exactly what our God does whenever he gives you a burden that reveals your divine direction. And even though you don't understand the details, even though you don't see the 10-year plan, you have the faith to start. God rejoices when you start the work, when the work begins. He rejoices to see you take a step. He rejoices to see you start. You know, far too often when we think of Nehemiah, we often hear the story and we think, cool, he got a burden, he built a wall. Awesome, God gave him this crazy burden. He was a crazy dude. He was managed to accomplish it and he built this wall. But what happens when we take a step back? When we take a step back from when he built the wall, we see some amazing things. We see some crazy things. When we take a step back, what do we see? We literally see in the text that Nehemiah had to have a tool in one hand and a weapon in the other in order to fight off the enemies. You take a step back from there, someone had to have the courage to lay down the first stone. You take a step back from there, Nehemiah had to rally everyone because no one believed that this project was possible. You take a step back from there, what do you see? You see hard work. You see they worked their tails off. You see the step behind that. You see Nehemiah going at night, taking notes of the lands in order to plan how they were going to build this wall. You take a step back from there, you see that he had to wait 3 days. You take a step back from there, you see that he rode by donkey 1,400 kilometers. Now you know why he had to wait 3 days. You take a step back from there and you see that he had to pack his bags. If you want to start something big, pack your bags. Start small. It doesn't mean that you have to move the mountains. You don't have to build the wall. It's not the first step. The first step for you might be packing your bags. Have the faith to start small. But here's a really important point that I don't want you to miss. You don't need to have the faith to finish. All you need to have is the faith to start. You don't have to have the faith to say, I can see the destination, I can see the pathway, I can see the 12 steps, I can see the ending. You don't have to have the faith to see the finish. All you have to have is the faith to start. No, you don't need to know all the details. God doesn't always show you the details. You don't need to have the faith to finish. You only need the faith to start. You know, when I took on young adults, I had absolutely no idea what the future would hold. I had absolutely no idea what I was getting myself into. Of course, I had dreams. Of course, I had visions. And I still do today. But at that time, I had absolutely no idea what I was actually saying yes to. You know, I can stand here and say, you know, we've had up to 75 young adults attend a Wednesday night gathering. But if you take a step back from there, you'll see that we worked our tails off. And if you take a step back from there, you'll see that we had the courage to have our very first gathering in this exact room for the very first time, trusting that God was going to bring people. You take a step back from there, you'll see that we had to pray. We got on our knees and we prayed and we worshiped to God, trusting in him and for the process. You take a step back from there, you'll see that I had to have some really tough conversations with people. You take a step back from there, you'll see that we had to have the faith to have our very first gathering in the foyer. You take a step back from there, you'll see that I said yes to Pastor Daniel for the very first time. You take a step back from there, you'll see that I'm struggling in my room. I'm fighting with God. I'm wrestling with God because I don't know what this yes is going to mean. You take a step back from there, you'll see that I'm in Canada packing my bags, leaving my home. So to pursue a divine burden that I know God has placed on my life? Did I have the faith to finish? Did I have the faith to be here today? I can honestly say I didn't. I can honestly say I didn't have the faith to see where I am here today, but I did have the faith to start. I had the faith to start. I didn't dream small, I dreamed big, but I had the faith to start. So how do you start something significant? How do you start something big? You have the faith to start. Don't let the start stop you. You know, I love this quote by St. Francis Assisi, and it says, "Start by doing what's necessary, then what's possible, and suddenly you're doing the impossible." Start by doing the necessary, then what's possible, then suddenly you're doing the impossible. If you want to get out of debt, what do? You don't buy that $5 cup of coffee. What else do? You cook at home. You don't go to takeaway. You sell that thing on Gumtree, and then you have it. You're $85 closer to being out of debt. You take a step. You take a step towards being out of debt. You start by doing what's necessary, then what's possible, and then all of a sudden, you're doing the impossible. You want to lose 20 kgs? Get a gym membership. Take one step on the treadmill. Take two steps on the treadmill. Take 10 steps on the treadmill. Turn away that brownie. Do what's possible. Do what's necessary. And then all of a sudden, you'll see that your body's being transformed and that you'll be doing the impossible. How do you become more Christ-like? You start small. You start a Bible reading plan. What do? The first thing that you get up in the morning, you seek God. The next thing, God may prompt you and say, hey, you should join a volunteer team. You should join a ministry team here at The Rocks. Pastor Daniel always says that when I join team here, that my faith will be stretched. Maybe I should start doing that. You join Answer, this thing that we've been talking about all morning. You join a small group, and then all of a sudden you know that you have the Rocks bumper sticker on your car, logo on your car, and you have 35 free t-shirts, and you say, how did I become this person? How did I get here? And you don't know what happened, but how did it happen? You had the faith to start small, and you took a step. Don't ever let the start stop you. Have the faith to start small. Because when you start by doing what's necessary and then you continue by doing what's possible, suddenly you're doing the impossible. You know, one of the most beautiful parts of this wall is that they built it in 52 days. This is less than 2 months. They built this giant wall in 52 days. And they didn't just throw some stones and mud together. This was one of the greatest construction projects in history. A cupbearer, someone who was walking on red carpets, had to go walk on rubble in order to rebuild this wall face to face with the enemy to fulfill a divine burden. And a lot of us might look at this wall and say, wow, project complete. Well done. Good job, Nehemiah. But as it is with God, on the other side of that, yes, on the other side of that project was another project. Rebuild the temple. On the other side of that project, rebuild the economy. On the other side of that project, rebuild the culture. On the other side of that project, rebuild the faith in the nations of God's people. Because if I'm being honest, we didn't call this series Divine Destination. We called this series Divine Direction because you never fully arrive. It's a process. It's a journey that you go, and it's a series of yeses. It's a series of continual yeses that you decide to do in faith, knowing that God's got you covered. But just start where you are, and one day, you might look back and realize that that small step you took, that really, really small step that you took out in faith, in the right direction, was actually one of the biggest steps that you've ever taken in your life. Because you had no idea what God was going to do on the other side of it. You had no idea what God was going to do after your small yes, after your small step. Trust the process, because there will be more to come. You see, the truth is, just like Craig Rochelle says, you will very likely overestimate what God will do in the short run, but you will vastly underestimate what God will do through a lifetime of faithfulness. And as I close, I'm going to ask you all to rise to your feet and stand this morning. You will very likely overestimate what God will do in the short run, but you will vastly underestimate what God will do in a lifetime of faithfulness. You may not see a significant difference tomorrow. You may not see a significant difference the next day. You may not see a significant difference in a year's time, but I can guarantee you, step after step, that you will begin to see God's faithfulness through your day. You may not see those results in a week's time. You may not see the results in the short time, but I can guarantee you that in the long term, you will drastically underestimate what God is capable in doing in your situation. You won't even be able to comprehend the vastness of how God will move in your situation. You won't be able to comprehend the ripple effects of what that first step will look like in your situation. You will have no clue where God will take you in 5, 10, 20 years' time as you faithfully serve Him. But it's going to be amazing. So don't ever let the start stop you, because God's plan for you is too important to quit prematurely. God's plan for you is too important to stop before the finish line. God's plan for you is too big for you to stand on the sidelines and not do anything. So even more than faith to start, God wants us to have a faith to continue as well. And that's why I love Galatians 6:9. And it tells us, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And someone here this morning needs to hear this, that you need to continue to press on. Someone here needs to hear this morning that maybe it's getting tough and maybe it's getting difficult, but you need to press on, that you continue to need to not be weary, not to grow weary, because God's got a plan for you. God's got your back, and God's got a plan and a purpose for your future. Someone here this morning needs to hear that, hey, you do not want to give up. You don't want to give up, because through a lifetime of faithfulness, you'll begin to see and reap the rewards that God has planted in your life. You don't want to give up now, because I can guarantee you, on the other side of that yes, on the other side of that decision, on the other side of that step to continue towards God, towards your divine burden, towards your divine direction, is something amazing that you can't even comprehend in this world. And then do not become weary in doing good, because it is worth it.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.